The following is paid for by Veteran Rescue Mission. The host is solely responsible for its content. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Welcome to the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy.
That's right. This is the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I am Pastor John McClain, here with, nope, not Dr. J. I'm here with Mr. B.
What?
Yep. It's, what happened? Man, like a little, like a transformation happened.
Spring break, bro.
We're going to do our best to do with one missing Dr. J.
Yes.
I think it's going to be an awesome show nonetheless.
Yes. We got a lot of guests in the house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like it's a mouse in the house. And we got someone running for city council in the house. So that's a big deal. As well as many Tucson International Academy educators in the room. So I just feel smart. I feel like I'm in good company in this room for sure. And then also we have later on in the show, Edgar Ibata, actually on the line, on the phone, Edgar Ibata, the producer of the film All We Have, which is a local Tucson movie, and from a local Tucsonan who works for one of the local news stations as a photojournalist when he's not being an awesome movie producer. And but without further ado, we have Mr. Andreas Alexander Portela III in studio with us, a candidate for the City Council Ward 6. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess we'll kind of just jump right in. We have this first segment all set up for you. And what inspired you to run for the office in the first place?
Yeah, definitely. So it's honestly threefold. This was part a matter of urgency, but also like a feeling that I got after having conversations in the death of my grandma over the last year due to COVID and stuff like that.
Mm.
And so my mom was telling me these stories, and one of the projects I was working on when I was working for the city of Tucson was Anza Park. In my mom's earliest memories as being a third generation Tucsonan, third generation Black Tucsonan, which is super important. She was telling me these stories of really just organically going to the park and just being there with my grandmother. And it really just started to turn towards purpose. Mm-hmm. That is the vision from Ward 6. Ward 6, that park borders multiple parks. It's very intersectional in the frame of it's where Ward 1, Ward 3, and Ward 6 connect. And so really I started to put the connection together for myself. I want to raise kids in Ward 6. And so I said, what is it going to take to get me there? And so I started to have conversations with my friends who are all around my age, and they're all leaving Tucson. And it's partly due to unaffordability in housing. It's partly because they see these large cities getting kind of streets paved with gold, where they have transportation systems that are set up very, very particularly to get people across town quickly, but also equitably. And so after having those conversations, I started to look at the lay of the land for kind of what I felt was things getting left behind.
Mm.
And so this last part is really what drove me to run. I saw that over the last 10 years we failed to really address poverty at its roots level, and I see it creeping in toward six. As creeping, it's been here for a while, but it's starting to affect everyone just about the same because of the housing unaffordability. We have record numbers of poverty which have stayed at about 20-25% over the last 10 years. We also have TPD considering to drop services, and we also have 80%+ of our roads starting to fail, plus the housing crisis. And so I felt like this was my time. This was the time, as someone who spent time working on state and federal policy, it's time for me to bring it home. And that's why my whole platform is home: housing, opportunity, mobility, justice, and environmental justice.
And so what would you say differentiates you from your opponents?
So that's a really great question. I'm running against two other folks, but I'm not running in my mind against two other people. I am running for Ward 6. And so what really differentiates me is I have the pragmatic approach to doing things policy-wise, but I'm going to take a level of compassion and care with it because of the work I've done in equity and being a facilitator. I know how to have those rough conversations with both sides. And I always say it goes back to home. I was raised in a home that was part fiscal conservative and part liberal Democrat. And so when you have two parents who are extreme polar opposites of the political spectrum, you hear heated debates, heated debates that are all centered around everyday issues, but it's the ability to take those heated debates and turn them into actual policy. And so that's where I'm headed. I'm willing to have those conversations with communities and turn them to action through community-based policy design. We actively listen, we affirm, or we say, we call out the issues, but then we turn it into actual action over policy.
And what would you say? Actually, definitely, I want to make sure we get to this before we get out of there. There's a lot of controversy that went around the Black Lives Matter mural and the permit request for painting the blue line in front of the police station. What were your thoughts about that controversy and how it was handled?
So I don't want to rethink old policy and kind of the way that it was either handled or not handled. I do want to say that it is important that the city of Tucson, and as I enter this space, we come up with universal practices for everyone. And so, as there should be an equitable approach to creating universal practices. But really, we have the Arts Foundation for this purpose. Their purpose is purely to say what is pro-social and what is political, and to really say that can be done on our streets or can't be done on our streets. And so, we really just need to trust the experts in this situation, which at both cases, neither of them were consulted by the city attorney or by the Arts Foundation. And so from here going out, I know that I can create policy that looks at what specific, like, who have we consulted? Who has been a part of the process? Have we polled the adjacent buildings from where we're going to paint on the street? Is this political or is this pro-social? Meaning, is it to uplift our community? Is it going to disenfranchise folks? That there should be a robust criteria for that.
Nice. And so how can people get involved with your campaign that want to help out?
Yeah, definitely. So there's a ton of ways to get involved right now. We are still in the signature gathering stage. So if you live in Ward 6, head to my website. There's a digital petition. That's rward6, nice, with the number 6, Tucson, .com. You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm actively on all of those mediums, and will answer every question you have live so everyone can see it. Canvas with me. Get to know me. I know that in the next few days, we're going to be planning an Instagram Live, Facebook Live DJ party, which is going to be fairly new age, and it's going to be music that encompasses all of Tucson. But we're also going to plan a fish fry. So it's going to be a very organic, I call it homie ran campaign, because it's literally just my homies coming together and saying that we want to actually see some real outcomes in the city of Tucson.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like another friend, Sadie Shaw's campaign. That's really like, hey, this is Tucson.
Yeah.
And if you love Tucson, you're going to love this.
So, definitely.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Andreas Alexander Portela III, for coming in studio with us. It was awesome. We certainly, you have my support, if nothing else.
Appreciate
and look
that.
Forward to having you on again.
Can I say one more thing?
Absolutely. I got 20 seconds.
Yeah. So we have the Reed Park Zoo discussion coming up. Go online to the City of Tucson website and submit your comments by April 15th. And then also, I want to affirm Community Care Tucson, a youth-led BIPOC LGBT plus mutual aid project that is actively working to get city officials to provide care to our most vulnerable. I stand in solidarity with them to help our houseless community.
Hello, KVOI listeners. This is Pastor John McClain with the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. Tune in to our show every Sunday at 2 o'clock to hear about the people and organizations doing good in our community. It's about time for some good news. So tune in or go to veteranrescuemission.org to donate to the show or our homeless veteran ministry, working to end veteran suicide and homelessness in Tucson with your help.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
Hello, KBOI listeners. This is Dr. Jennifer Herrera with the Making College Come True radio show, inviting you to join us every Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. to speak with professionals, educators, and other members of our community to get tips on how to get into college and succeed in college, and also explore the possibilities of getting a college degree. Join us this and every week for Making College Come True radio show, where we can help you make college come true for yourself or someone you love.
And welcome back to the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I am the Pastor John McClain, here with the Mr. B.
Boom.
Mr. B, as he's known in the streets, like, you're gaining a reputation around these parts, man. Like,
yeah.
Real soon it'll be like the Mr. B show.
I don't know about that.
No?
But definitely I'll stick with just Mr. B, rolling just with Mr. John B. McClain.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then we have definitely... It seems like one of the nicest guests we've had in the studio. Tell us, who do we have in studio with us today, Mr. B?
So it's my pleasure to announce our guest as Mrs. Valerie Enriquez, principal of two schools at the same time, of Tucson International Academy West and Midvale.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
You didn't tell me I was in studio with a big deal, y'all?
Yeah.
Goodness. I mean, okay, hello.
Wow.
Hello, I'm Principal Valerie.
Like,
how are you doing?
Hi.
Nice. Let me sit up straight now. Sorry.
Yeah,
don't even. You're fine. No, but thank you. It's like the nicest things anybody has ever said to me in a very long time.
Interesting. I'm surprised to hear that, because you put off this glow.
Oh,
so
I
imagine
that.
People point it out all the time.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So... not many people get to do this. So this was my first principal working under when I first came to Tucson International Academy.
Nice.
And to build something with another person and then get the opportunity to kind of look back about those experiences. I mean, we've worked together for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And we've taken
something. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Both of you couldn't have been out of college more than a decade ago.
Oh, yeah.
Ago.
No, sure.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Aging yourself here on the radio.
Oh, mercy.
I know.
So, you're a principal. I'm guessing before that you were an educator.
Yes.
Tell us about that journey. Like, I guess this is the Making College Come True radio show. So out of college, how did Principal Val get to Principal Val?
Out of college, let's see, I went into, I was teaching, kindergarten actually. I was teaching kindergarten at pre-K at La Petite Academy, which was right next door to our Midvale campus, TIA Midvale. And I taught there for about a year.
Okay.
And then I remember seeing all these grade school kids going out, you know, leaving the playground and going next door. And like, where are they going? You know, wasn't sure where they were going.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally got up the courage to ask, hey, where are you guys going? You guys are going to school? What school is back there? Because from what I remember, from what I know, it's just an alley.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, that's the school I go to.
Mm.
I'm like, the school? They're like, yeah, Midvale.
Do you go to school in an alley?
Literally. And they said, yeah, TIA Midvale.
Uh-huh.
That's where I go to school.
Mm.
And these are like second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade kids.
Mm.
So I was curious and I walked by, and sure enough, TIA Midvale, Tucson International Academy. Mm. I still remember the painting of the world on the window.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little bit of a stalker. I looked into the windows and I wanted to see, and it was a school.
Mm-hmm.
It was really set up like a one-room schoolhouse, desks and tables, and that's kind of how my whole TIA journey kicked off. And from there, another teacher introduced me to the superintendent of the school, and I was really interested, and I loved the mission and the vision, especially when I met her, Dr. J, and she invited me to come back for an interview, and that was it.
Mm.
Yeah,
that was
and that
it.
Was it.
The
and that was
history.
15 years ago, yeah.
Mm.
And it was a one-room schoolhouse. And I started teaching. I started teaching anywhere between second grade to sixth grade for a few years. And
what was your background up to that point? I mean, as far as like, what was your degree in college and all that?
Elementary. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And I knew that was something that I wanted to do for the rest of my life. But I didn't know what school. I didn't know. And I was really interested in visiting a lot of different schools. But once I met Dr. J and I started hearing her describe her mission and the vision that she wanted for TIA in particular, that's kind of where I was sold.
Had you, going through schooling and even after getting your degree, had you considered what type of teacher you wanted to be or what direction you wanted to be? Because that's a big thing that kind of really shines me. I'm taking over the show from you, Archie. Sorry, I can't help it. Because like that's the thing that really impressed me about TIA is like it's very focused. Like it's focused on getting kids from a particular part of our city into college. Like that's a very noble thing, one, and two, it's such a focused thing. Had that been something that went through your mind going through college or once you got your degree as a teacher? Because I would think like if I was a teacher, like, okay, I'm gonna get a job at a public school, you know, I didn't think that there would be anything beyond that.
No, yeah, I mean, you hear about the whole cliche when it comes to TIAs, you know, I want to make a difference in a kid's life. But for me, it was more along the lines of, you know, I grew up on the south side of Tucson. I went to school there. My parents and my family still live there. And I could see that there was a lot going on with, you know, kids my age not being able to like break this generational cycle that was pretty negative in their lives. And they just kept repeating it over and over again. And I knew they had so much more potential than that. And they, you know, they came from, you know, a friend that I sat with in school with all of these dreams and these goals, but they just could not break that cycle. And that's when it clicked for me, when it's like, you know what, it's time for me, because I knew I was able to, and I knew that that was my goal, to break the cycle. And I felt really empowered by that. So that's what I wanted to do for the kids. It's like, you know what? It's time to start empowering them, motivating them, and encouraging them that it's possible to break that cycle. And it could look not necessarily at the end game as a university. It could be technical college. It could be, you know, so what, just to get them start, you know, thinking about it. Because right now, they don't even have that on their radar at all.
Yeah, they don't even consider it. And so, that next step, I mean, you're a principal. Like, what made you think to take that path? And, you know, and how beautiful is it that you've kind of reached that realization?
Well, it has to be when I met, I mean, I had the interview with Dr. J, and I have to say, and I know you've met her. She's very inspirational, and she's very passionate about what she does. And that's when I thought, you know what? I can really see myself going, you know, sticking with the school in the long run. And at what level do I really want to stick with this school? And then going back to wanting to break generational cycles of, you know, not only just poverty, but general cycles, just their negative generational cycles. Well, how can I really make that impact? As a classroom teacher, yes. But on a greater scale, the bigger impact is as a administrator, as a principal. And I even do remember that one interview where I did, was very bold to let Dr. J know that, and one day I'm going to be a TIA principal. And that was at 20, 21 years old.
I think I remember, she's told that story on air before.
Yeah. It's in her book too. In writing.
That's where I read it. You had to put it in writing, huh?
So she put it in writing, but that was, I mean, at 21, it was a very bold move, but I knew that as an administrator, if I can empower the teachers, then the teachers can start empowering the students. And that, I started with Midvale, TIA Midvale, and it, like I said earlier, was a one-room schoolhouse with maybe 40, 60 kids, K-5, K-8. And then just this past school year, a couple years ago, now it's been the biggest campus in our district with over, with close to 200 kids. So I would have to say, you know, I did that with the help of this guy right here, Mr. Baserto, who came in and started subbing. And then we didn't let him go because we saw how much his potential, and he bought into the mission and the vision. Mm-hmm. And from there, with his help and his partnership, we were able to grow Midvale from little tiny one room schoolhouse to like five suites in the shopping mall, and now the biggest campus in the district.
Moving on up.
Yes, I'm really, really proud of it.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for coming on the show with us. Like I said, one of the nicest people we've had in the studio for quite a while. I wish you guys could see the glow. Definitely watch the video on KVOI.com so you can see us in studio. And we'll be back right after these messages with Edgar Ibarra.
Are you considering going back to college? Do you know someone who is? Then Making College Come True is the book for you. This in-depth book, authored by Dr. Jennifer Herrera, local educator and superintendent of Tucson International Academy, takes what may seem to be a difficult task and gives a simple rundown on how to make college come true for yourself or a loved one. Get your copy of Making College Come True on Amazon or at TucsonInternationalAcademy.com today.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com. to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to veteranrescuemission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at veteranrescuemission.org.
Welcome back to the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy. We got like quadruple the Tucson International Academy today, because thankfully we have the good fortune of interviewing the principal of two of the Tucson International Academy academies.
Yes.
And
Valerie Enriquez.
That is I.
Valerie Enriquez. In any relation to... No, that doesn't even make any sense. Never mind. Go on. So actually, there was a cool little segment.
Were you going to say Enrique Iglesias?
I was.
You
were.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyways, I thought it'd be a cool segment because you're saying this is your principal.
Yes.
So let's take this opportunity to have you ask questions of your principal that you've always wanted to ask.
Oh, mercy.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to put her through the gauntlet. Let's, right here.
We have to. She won't be the first person we've put in the hot seat on at this station, on this studio, especially on this show, this Making College Come True show. Like, we certainly, you guys have held us people that you're trying to make college come true to task. So right. It's only fair that we turn the mirror back around on one of...
Thanks. I appreciate it, guys.
So do your worst.
There's only two.
Okay.
One of them's not even a question. One of them's just a statement. So the first is, so Mrs. Enriquez and I here started the school when it was like K. Well, when I came in, she came in way before I did, but when I came in, it was like K-11.
Mm.
And she had grades 2nd through 6, and I had 7 through 11. And then we had Miss Lippy. I don't even remember this lady. She was like a Miss Lippy kinder first teacher.
Uh-huh.
And it was amazing. It was just amazing how we were used to just really encourage those kids and just really help them grow in knowledge. But in one summer, we grew from 50 kids to 200 kids.
Yeah.
It was, you know, the parents wanted it. The students wanted it. We kind of wanted it, but we didn't really know what we were asking for.
We even had a waiting list.
Yeah, we had a waiting list. And then we said, okay, let's open it up. And overnight, in one summer, we went from one size to another size. Mm. So my first question is, looking at it from the admin perspective, because I know there's a lot of teachers who are listening, and even parents who are listening, like, wow, you know, our school just got bigger. What was the biggest lesson that you learned through that first year growing at such a rate that we did?
Wow, that's a really good question. So
that's the only type of question he asks, just so you know.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. But, you know, growing that school, it was a big dream of mine, actually, to grow Midvale. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it happened so fast. I remember towards the end of the summer, you know, Dr. J came up to me and said, "Hey, we have this opportunity. Do you think Midvale can grow?" I'm like, mm-hmm. absolutely. Absolutely, it can grow. And I know that the kids would absolutely, you know, love it and thrive in it and be excited to have, you know, bigger classroom, bigger rooms, bigger school, hallway, you know, they'd love it. Mm-hmm. But something also, as the administrator point of view, you know, it's like you start to think, is it starting too fast? Are we biting off more than what we can chew? Mm-hmm. You know, are the parents going to want to continue to re-enroll with us because we're technically a bigger school now? Mm. So you have these kids that have been with you for so long, and these parents that have entrusted you, you know, to educate their kids and keep their kids safe, you know, and they have this image of a small school and, you know, more attention because it's a small school, and that is why they love TIA. So here we are going from 50 student population to almost 200 kids. You know, how are our parents going to react to that? How are the kids going to react to that? So I was worried. I was definitely worried as a administrator and as a teacher.
What would you account that large growth so quickly to?
Well, we had, as we were there in the Midvale Plaza, our name started expanding because our, you know, other businesses there started noticing us more because we started doing more for the community, such as doing bake sales out in the front with the shopping center, and going to, I know Mr. Becerto did this a few times, taking his kids to each shop business there in the shopping center and just kind of giving them that experience of introducing themselves to an adult, kind of like in a business venture and a business attire or whatnot. So they started noticing us and they started asking more questions. And before I knew it, business owners were coming and knocking on our door and asking more questions about TIA Midvale. You know, what kind of school is this? What is it that you guys are doing? I see you guys all the time. And it was just word of mouth after that. And it just kind of started spreading like wildfire.
Interesting. And I guess kind of in that same vein, and I'll give it back to you in a second. how did it seems like, what was it like watching the Tucson International Academy network expand?
That was fun.
Actually, I opened that up to both of you because, I mean, I guess you both are kind of there and seeing this just grow from this, like you're saying, this one school, one room thing into what is, you know, it seems pretty huge now.
Yeah, Dr. J is always really big about marketing. And I've always been really big about, you know, people expect teachers to speak highly of their kids. People expect administrators to speak highly of their kids. But when a kid actually goes out there and speaks highly of their school, that changes everything. And it was during that time, you know, TIA really used Midvale to really help parents understand that you have a choice of where you can send your kids to school. You know, especially in a community where, you know, if I ask, am I asking for trouble? And so really helping people, you know, Mrs. Enriquez did a great job speaking with a lot of women in the community and reminding them, like, you have a voice as a woman to speak up about where you want to send your kids to school. And with that being said, you know, a lot of people started to ask questions and starting to realize, what is a charter school really about? You know, what is TIA really about? And what is it about Midvale that I keep hearing about? And so as people, even in today's world right now, you know, it's really important for those of you who are parents who are listening in, like, you have a choice of where to send your kids to school, bigger than what you think. It's not just a public school. It's not just a private school. Like, there are public charters. There are specialized private schools. There's money like ESAs and IBEs and STOs to help you with the money that you need to get you into those schools, especially if you have special needs kids and if you're an active duty military. And so during that time, we got to have a lot of those conversations, and it was a great learning curve for us too. And that was something I noticed. What about you?
No, it's the same.
Yeah.
Absolutely same.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And
I just want to cut him off. because he stole the show earlier, so I want to say something live on TV. So I mean live on radio. Sorry, I'm forgetting where I'm at. Sure. So one thing I can say about Mrs. Enrique is about her character. You know, there was a year in 2013 where I had kidney failure, and this woman was actually there as a strong helper and a strong supporter for her educators of really being there at the toughest times in your life. So it says a lot about her character.
Awesome. We'll talk more about that after this break.
Hello, KVOI listeners. This is Pastor John McClain with the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. Tune in to our show every Sunday at 2 o'clock to hear about the people and organizations doing good in our community. It's about time for some good news. So tune in or go to veteranrescuemission.org to donate to the show or our homeless veteran ministry, working to end veteran suicide and homelessness in Tucson with your help.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com. to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to veteranrescuemission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at veteranrescuemission.org.
And welcome back to the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I am still Pastor John McClain here with, you say your name so I don't butcher it.
Mr. Basurto.
Man, that just sounds slick. Yeah.
Mr. B. Yeah.
But the way you, the other way was slick. That's how you, like, back in the day, that's how you told the ladies, huh? I could see you say it that way. Hey, hello, no, I'm Jonathan Basurto.
I wasn't that cool yet. No. It was just Jay. Just call me Jay.
Oh, okay.
Because yeah, Jonathan was too embarrassing as a youngster to say.
Really?
So it was just Jay.
Yeah, I was always just John McClane because I have the same name as a movie character. Right. Yeah, that's so awesome. It's just easy lead, easy icebreaker for sure. Especially like those nerdy girls that are like into movies. As in, like, Flint. Yeah. But anyways, we got a principal in the studio with us. Stop the locker talk here for a second. We got Mrs. Valerie Enriquez, no relation to Enrique Iglesias.
No relation. None whatsoever.
As far as I know.
Yeah, but enough about me. Let's finish the grilling. The principal.
The grilling.
By Mr. B.
Yes.
And the hot seat with Principal B.
Yeah, I don't think she would. So, I guess this question is, your response is more catered to those people who are principals that are listening in, and people who are even in leadership, business owners, because there is a level of empathy that needs to be understood when it comes to leadership. So in 2013, I had kidney failure. And something you learn pretty quick, especially in Arizona, and most definitely in Tucson, is you have a very short supply of great substitutes. And most teachers, no matter where you're at, will always say, this sub can't do what I can do for my kids. And you will stick it out for a really, really long time. And so I was experiencing kidney failure beginning of August, end of July, all the way going into October. And on this one specific day, October 2nd, 2013, Mrs. Enriquez pulled me out of the classroom. I had thrown up again in the trash can in front of the kids, because I was trying to teach a lesson. I couldn't do it, dude. Like, I was already at this time like stage 4 kidney failure. And so she pulled me out and she's like, Mr. B, I know your heart, I know what you're trying to do, but you need to go home. It's time. You can't do this anymore. And I was like teary-eyed, like, no, even me vomiting like this is still better than any substitute that we'll get. Right? And she was like, yeah, I know, but you know, you really need to go home. And a year later to the day, On October 2nd, 2014, I was able to come back after two different transplant surgeries, one for kidney, one for pancreas. And, you know, as soon as I came back, she was like, all right, let's do this. You know, it's time to really catch up and get things done. So my question is, during the course of that year, I can only imagine what you went through, because she was the principal. I was like her assistant principal and also an English and history teacher. And so what was that? For leaders that are listening, right? When you have a person that really is there to help you, but can't be there because of like something crazy, right? Like how did you navigate through that?
Well, that was a very big year, and I know that with teaching and with educators, you know that when you're teaching, your kids are your kids. The kids in your class, not only the kids in your class, but the kids that are in your school, those are your kids. And I know every teacher feels that way. These are just not just my students. They're my kids. And at work, they're my family. So I know what Mr. Basurto was going through when he, you know, very passionate teacher. And he's shared the same passion and the same view as I did. Like, this is our family. These are our kids. And it was really heartbreaking to see him going through that, because I knew he really wanted to be there. And, he, you know, we had just opened up the school, a brand new suite. It was a very big year for us in terms of, you know, expanding Midvale. But I knew that I needed to step in as an administrator and be like, hey, I know you're really passionate about the kids and I admire you about that. And your kids will always be your kids. Your students will always be your students. But you need to really take care of yourself first, because otherwise, you know, you won't be here in terms of years later to see your kids again, to see your students again. So it was, you know, both sides of it. It was really difficult because I knew the kids. I would have to talk to the kids as well as the students who are, you know, really attached to Mr. Basurto. And, you know, we are like a one big family, one small family down at the Midvale campus, actually at all four campuses. You know, that's really what we are, TIA family. And they've been with us for so many years. And, you know, explaining to the kids, explaining to the other teachers, you know, this is a situation that we're in. And this is something out of our control and out of his control. And if he could, he would be here. So how can we help the kids continue to get educated? And how can we help them understand, you know, what it is that Mr. Basurto is going through, and what is it that us as TIA are going to be going through, and how is that going to look like? So it was a very big transition to, you know, helping the teachers, and then here I go again, empowering the teachers, educating the teachers, and then shifting their focus to the kids. How can we get the kids through? You know, how can we continue to sustain this? And, you know, that way when Mr. Basurto does come back, it's like he never left.
Actually, the thing that definitely comes to mind is like, not only this, but it seems like, you know, just in life we all have it, but it seems like, you know, in your position, you're constantly kind of, even today with the show, you're dealing with adjustments, you're dealing with some extreme changes. What was it dealing with, you know, that situation, losing, I'm guessing, you know, not only an ace teacher, an ace assistant principal, like pretty much like you're losing Michael Jordan. And, you know, as a coach, like, what do you, how, you know, how do you replace for losing Michael Jordan and still make it to the playoffs and win a championship?
Is that a good analogy? She still won a championship. Yeah. I mean, 100% of those seniors still got accepted to college, which is amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, you're constantly shifting, having to be a lot, not even just a few, several steps ahead. So as you're having that conversation with the person, that difficult conversation, that's something out of their control, you're sympathizing with them and you're hurting along with them. But at the same time, you're also thinking, all right, what's my plan B? You know, what do I need to do to get my team continuing to teach and continuing to move forward? Because I know, you know, we have this situation going on. So, you know, you have to structure it so, you know, where, you know, things have to continue to keep moving. I have to make sure that all of the parts are continuing to move. But I also have to make sure that the kids, you know, who are going to be affected by it, you know, that we take care of that as well. Because, you know, other teachers, the entire district were really, were affected by it. So, you know, being the administrator or leader or somebody in charge, you know, there's so many pieces that you have to balance and you have to juggle that, you know, it can get a little draining at the end. But if you have, again, it goes back to if you have the right team in place with you and the right foundation that you've set, then when something like this happens, the impact isn't as big. But it starts with the right team, and it starts with a very good foundation being laid first.
And I guess kind of in that, and that's to that same point with COVID, we've all had some giant adjustments to our lives, and we've all been affected so much. Definitely seems like our educational systems being at the top of the list, being an administrator and a principal of a school. How's it been for you dealing with that and the adjustments that had to be made?
Well, of course, you know, nobody prepares for a, especially a pandemic, right? And this was something that, you know, I was thinking about the other day, literally almost about a year ago now. And, you know, when we got the news that everything was on, you know, lockdown and we weren't going to see our kids again after, you know, spring break, and, you know, that impacted everybody. It's like, we're not going to see our kids again for the rest of the year. So it had to get, you know, we had to kick things in overdrive, and it was a lot of late nights. It was a weekend, literally within a weekend, you know, Dr. J and I pulled an all-nighter, and we put together this system, and this system was able to see us through for the rest of the quarter and set us up for this school year, you know, with the hybrid learning. But it was definitely something I know that we will all never forget. But however, coming out of it, I think it's really strengthened all of our schools and our teams and our principals and our teachers, because it really took us coming together as a team to be able to make it work. And everybody had to be in. Everybody had to be 2 feet in, because otherwise we weren't going to get the system up and running.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. And that's how you make college come true. Because when the kids saw the way that all those adjustments were made, it teaches you an example of overcoming that, you know, it, you could never teach that in a regular classroom setting, right? Like, just seeing the way that you can adjust to these things. And when, and then, to be honest with you, that senior class was probably one of the best senior classes we've ever had, because they saw and they went through it all together, just like Val said, as a family. And Dr. J's always set that tone from the beginning. You know, we, everybody wears a lot of hats. Everybody works together. You know, I between Mrs. Gagne's over at the front of the admin office with Dr. J, Ms. Val, any of the principals, like my current principal, Mr. Meehan, like Mr. Montemayor, you know people like Mrs. Laos. You know, there's just people in place, right, that have literally done it all together, as she was talking about, with the team, with the firm foundation. And that's a big part of it, is you take what teachers love about education and their kids, and then you run with that.
Nice.
Right.
Well, I think we just made a radio show together, people.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect.
Thank you, Mrs. Val. And I think we've showed to the people out there that are interested in Tucson International Academy, or maybe even interested in being employed about Tucson International Academy, what makes it special. So this is a special Making College Come True edition with Mr. B alongside me, Pastor John. We will get Dr. J back next week. So you guys stay tuned in for us every Sunday at 3 p.m. on the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John with
Jonathan Basurto.
Yeah, killing the game. We'll see you next week.
Do you have some gently used clothes, furniture, or vehicles that you would like to donate to an organization that's helping connect our local veterans to housing, benefits, and the services they need to transition into civilian life? Then come to Veteran Thrift at 2241 North Oracle to donate your goods, time, to shop, or to take advantage of our free item program every Friday. Veteran Thrift, with your help, can get unhoused veterans the help they need.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
Hello, KVOI listeners. This is Dr. Jennifer Herrera with the Making College Come True radio show, inviting you to join us every Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. to speak with professionals, educators, and other members of our community to get tips on how to get into college and succeed in college, and also explore the possibilities of getting a college degree. Join us this and every week for Making College Come True radio show, where we can help you make college come true for yourself or someone you love.